I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 17th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's story is taken from Time Magazine, where they list the top 10 Pat Robertson gaffes. Number 1. Robertson welcomed 2007 with the declaration that God had told him terrorists would attack the U.S. in the latter half of the year. There's a possibility that, not a possibility, a definite certainty that chaos is going to rule, he said on the 700 Club's January 2nd broadcast. It wouldn't necessarily be a nuclear attack. The Lord didn't say nuclear, Robertson noted. Yet the mass killing could affect multiple cities, and millions of people might die. By year's end, however, Armageddon failed to occur. Pat, where were your psychic abilities on 9/11 when we really needed them? God also never said anything about guns, either. It seems as though the only weapons he was aware of were those that existed in the first century. Gaffe number 2. Robertson has said it time and time again. Islam is not a religion. And while the line has angered Muslims worldwide, repeating it still doesn't make him right. In the wake of the Fort Hood shootings, Robertson declared on the 700 Club that Islam was actually a political system bent on world domination. Pat, whatever you accuse Islam of can also be said of your religion. They are two sides of the same coin. In fact, your holy books contain all the same characters. Gaffe number 3. Robertson's reaction to the 2006 stroke that debilitated Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon hurt him both in the public eye and in his wallet. After he noted that Sharon's sudden decline in health could be ascribed to his policy of dividing God's land by ceding Gaza to the Palestinians, Israel announced it was ending negotiations with Robertson on the development of a $50 million Christian heritage tourist site. He then issued an open letter to Sharon's son, Omri, expressing his condolences and blaming his comments on my zeal, my love of Israel, and my concern for the future safety of your nation. Pat, it's hard to believe that anyone is gullible enough not to be able to see through your obvious financial motivations. Yet, millions are. Gaffe number 4. When he terms the caller he's just spoken to a homo, sure as you're alive, Pat Robertson looks so freaked out you would think he had just spoken to a ghost. Maybe that's because he apparently forgot one of the cardinal rules of media appearances. If you happen to be wearing a microphone when you put your foot in your mouth, it's virtually certain to be on. Pat, since you only tell the truth, why would you get freaked out? Gaffe number 5. Robertson advises karate enthusiasts to avoid inhaling some demon spirit for extra strength, as he claims some martial artists do. He manages to talk about America's favorite fighter for more than a minute without dropping a Chuck Norris fact. For example, there is no theory of evolution, just a list of creatures Chuck Norris has allowed to live. Gaffe number 6. Just 2 days after the September 11th attacks in 2001, Robertson welcomed the Reverend Jerry Falwell onto his show to discuss the cause of the tragedy. Falwell's list of guilty parties included the pagans, abortionists, feminists, gays, and lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, not to mention the ACLU and People for the American Way, for good measure. Robertson's response to Falwell's venom? I totally concur. Well, Pat, you and Jerry got to live large and famous by peddling your magic books. He's gone and you soon will be. Unfortunately, the next pack of wolves is waiting just beyond the shadows. Gaffe number 7. Iowa embraced the women's rights movement a little late, shooting down an equal rights amendment that would ban sex discrimination in 1980 and waiting until 1992 to reintroduce the issue. However, TV evangelist Pat Robertson made it clear that he would do anything in his power to keep it off the table for good, joining forces with the organization Stop ERA to block the amendment. In a now infamous letter sent as a plea to supporters to donate money to the Stop ERA organization, Robertson claimed that the feminist movement was a socialist, anti-family, political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians. Although the letter was dismissed as ridiculous by the head of the group Iowa Equal Rights Amendment 1992, Robertson's vituperative comments, along with a media blitz by anti-ERA activists, successfully prevented equal rights from being incorporated into the state's constitution by a 51% margin, though it would ultimately pass in 1998. Pat, it's hard to believe someone as sick and perverted as you actually wields the power and influence that you do. That fact is so depressing that I am going to read a couple of Bible verses just to cheer me up. Maybe the one about God's goons disemboweling pregnant women. That one is always good for a laugh. Gaffe number 8. When it comes to Pat Robertson, sometimes truth and fiction are hard to distinguish. On the 700 Club in 2005, Robertson blamed Hurricane Katrina on the issue of abortion in John Roberts' Supreme Court nomination. Around the same time, Dateline Hollywood published a satirical article claiming Robertson said selecting New Orleans native Ellen DeGeneres, a lesbian, to host the Emmy Awards caused the hurricane. The joke became a widespread internet rumor that, given Pat Robertson's track record, was perhaps too easy to take seriously. My comment? This stuff would be funny if it wasn't taken seriously by millions of brain-dead zombies. Gaffe number 9. Pat Robertson's comments in the aftermath of January 12th's massive earthquake near the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince might be his most questionable yet. In a January 13th appearance on the 700 Club, Robertson used a shaky bit of history to imply that the quake was divine retribution for Haitian voodoo doctors enlisting the help of Satan to free their country from the French some 200 years ago. A statement put out later by a Robertson rep attempted to clarify that the Reverend had merely meant to speculate on why the impoverished country has long been cursed, not that there was any particular impetus from above for this latest misfortune. Some consolation. Pat, so you're saying that the devil was fighting to free the slaves, and God was fighting against them? And God lost? Well, God has been losing lots of battles involving slavery, to the point where modern civilization is on the verge of wiping it out. That has got to really piss him off. And finally, gaffe number 10. Some of Robertson's harshest rhetoric was reserved for Venezuelan president and frequent U.S. thorn, Hugo Chavez. Robertson used a 2005 episode of the 700 Club to seemingly urge a state-sponsored assassination. He said, "You know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think that we really ought to go ahead and do it. The U.S. has the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability." Robertson later claimed that take him out could mean any number of things short of Chavez's death. Pat, why would we have to take him out? Why can't God do it? And now, after I take a moment to vomit, we will move to the science segment. And now the science segment. Stars versus science. That would be Hollywood stars. From Jenny McCarthy to Tom Cruise, some Hollywood hotshots are leading a war against modern science. When the medical journal Pediatrics released a consensus report early this year concluding that autistic children do not benefit from special diets, ABC News' Diane Sawyer knew just whom to call. Jenny McCarthy. Former MTV game host and nude model, and now mother of an autistic son, Evan, enthusiastically denounced the study. She said, until doctors start listening to our anecdotal evidence, which is, it's working, it's going to take so many more years for these kids to get better, she opined. Stars are almost never doctors, but all too often they try to play them in real life. It's a rare week that passes without some celebrity weighing in on a scientific topic or medical controversy. Sometimes it is funny. The former NBA star Daryl Dawkins claims to be from the planet Lovetron. Sometimes it's done for a good cause, Amanda Peet asking parents to inoculate their children. And sometimes it's cringeworthy nonsense, like actor Megan Fox extolling vinegar shots to flush out fat in the colon. But some of the best-known celebrities use their soapboxes to spread scientifically dubious and potentially harmful messages. Jenny McCarthy believes vaccines cause autism, despite numerous studies to the contrary. She campaigns against child vaccines that have been shown to save lives. In 2008, the Centers for Disease Control reported that measles outbreaks had spiked because more parents were deciding to leave their children unvaccinated, thanks to the burgeoning anti-vax movement. These folks who really don't have the best information, but because they are vocal and well-organized, their message has gotten out, says William Schaefer, chair of preventative medicine at Vanderbilt School of Medicine. As a result, around the country, pediatricians and their staffs are having to spend more and more time persuading parents to have their kids vaccinated in a timely fashion. It is an enormous problem. Last September, after the untimely passing of actor Patrick Swayze from pancreatic cancer, actress-turned-alternative health crusader Suzanne Summers used the occasion to tell a Canadian newspaper that the real cause of his death was Swayze's chemotherapy treatments. They took this beautiful man and they basically put poison in him, Summers said. Why couldn't they have built him up nutritionally and gotten rid of the toxins in his body? The sitcom actress, who's written two best-selling books about dubious health remedies, later apologized on her blog. Tom Cruise has used his celebrity to attack the medical field of psychiatry, most infamously during a bizarre segment of the Today Show 5 years ago. During an interview with host Matt Lauer, Cruise criticized the actress Brooke Shields for having taken antidepressant drugs to combat postpartum depression. Cruise also excitedly condemned the use of anti-hyperactivity drug Ritalin. The proliferation of modern cable television and radio talk shows, not to mention things like Twitter and YouTube, provide forums for stars with wacky notions, says Stephen Barrett, a retired psychiatrist who runs quackwatch.org. The shows go for entertainment value over scientific credibility. Talk shows don't pay any attention to whether the advice on their program will kill people. Producers consider it entertainment. Barrett adds, never take health advice from a talk show. Meanwhile, plenty of popular movies flunk the scientific literacy test. To help Hollywood get it right, the National Academy of Sciences even has a West Coast office to help writers and directors connect with scientists. Celebrities have weighed in both sides of science over the decades. After World War II, many celebrities pitched in to urge people to get the polio vaccine, says Paul Offit of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who's worked hard to debunk the notion that vaccines are harmful. But when strong evidence began to emerge in the early 1950s that cigarette smoking caused lung cancer, people like Arthur Godfrey and Edward R. Murrow stood up to the public and said, "We just don't believe this. It's unproven. I've been smoking all my life and I'm fine." Ultimately, both died of lung cancer. Why do celebrities feel the need to spout off on medical or scientific matters? Because they've excelled in one field, stars think they're experts in many things, says the vaccine expert Offit. That part doesn't bother me. It's the part that we listen that bothers me. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Israel, where the Jesus era shroud suggests the Shroud of Turin is a fake. A first-of-its-kind find in Jerusalem casts further doubt. An ancient shroud found in a Jerusalem tomb confirms that the Turin shroud, which supposedly wrapped Jesus, is a fake, according to a team of archaeologists. The shroud, which they believe is typical of burial cloths of the time, is very different from the Turin version and involves a much simpler weave. The tomb and its contents have been conclusively dated to the time of Christ. The tomb was found in a cemetery known as the Field of Blood, where Judas Iscariot was said to have committed suicide. Its occupant's identity is unknown, although DNA analysis found that he suffered from leprosy, the earliest proven case, according to Israeli researchers, which may have been the reason why the tomb was sealed off, preserving the shroud for 2,000 years. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Michael Onfray, born January 1st, 1959. He is 51 years old. Onfray is a contemporary French philosopher who adheres to hedonism, atheism, and anarchism. He is a highly prolific author on philosophy with more than 30 written books. His philosophy is mainly influenced by such thinkers as Nietzsche and Epicurus. And now I have almost a dozen quotes from this very quotable author, Michael Onfray. The first quote, "I do not despise believers. I find them neither ridiculous nor pathetic. But I lose all hope when I see that they prefer the comforting fairy tales of children to the cruel hard facts of adults. Better the faith that brings peace of mind than the rationality that brings worry, even at the price of perpetual mental infantilism." That's pretty harsh. His next quote, "I experience the feeling that always arises deep within me when I am confronted with the symptoms of indoctrination and deception. Compassion for the sufferer coupled with burning anger towards those who perpetuate the deception." Onfray's next quote, "How ironic that other people's credulity should bring a smile to the face of the man who is supremely unaware of his own." The next quote, "Only mortals have to worry about death's inevitability. The naive and foolish believer knows that he is immortal, that he will survive the carnage of Judgment Day." Onfray's next quote, "Atheism is not therapy, but restored mental health." Obviously, he is an atheist, which you probably could tell if you read his book, The Atheist Manifesto. Onfray's next quote, "God manufactured by mortals in their own quintessential image exists only to make daily life bearable, despite the path that every one of us treads toward extinction. As long as men are obliged to die, some of them, unable to endure the prospect, will concoct fond illusions." His next quote, "The last god will expire with the last man." Onfray's next quote, "It's almost as if religion needs innocence, lack of education, and ignorance in order to thrive." His next quote, "They establish death on earth for the sake of eternity in heaven. In so doing, they spoil the only gift we possess, the living matter of a potential existence killed in the egg just because its life is finite. Fleeing life in order not to have to die is not a good bargain. It pays death twice, when once is enough." The next quote from Michael Onfray, "If the prospect of getting taken up to paradise generates joy, It is the mindless joy of a baby picked up from its crib. His next quote, "For the Torah, Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran took an unthinkably long time to emerge from history and claim that their text issued from God alone, that they had no need to explain themselves to those who entered their paper temples armed only with faith, unburdened of reason and intelligence." His next quote, "Reading does not imply thumbing through page after page, chanting their contents like an ecstatic dervish, consulting them like a catalog, selecting this or that story here and there and from time to time, but taking the time to meditate on the whole." His next quote, "A book dating from the beginning of the 630s, theoretically dictated to an illiterate camel herdsman, regulates down to the smallest detail the daily lives of billions of people in the era of supersonic travel and space conquest." And the last quote from Michael Onfray, "God puts to death everything that stands up to him, beginning with reason, intelligence, and the critical mind."
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.